You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, the San Bernardino shootings. Where do we go from here? There's a lot to think about, and I'll offer my thoughts. Is it time you changed your thinking on which toys you buy your kids? Manny the Movie Guy has a list of the movies you must see before the end of the year. And later in the show, are man-made diamonds, or shall I say human-grown diamonds, just as good as the ones that take a million years to grow? It's just me today, plus commentary from the Peanut Gallery, which is manned, as usual, by our executive producer, Mike Stark. Hey, Mike.
What's up?
And for everybody, if you listen to the show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, they read your comments. They do. They notice your five-star reviews. And then they feature us, which helps grow the audience. And, of course, you know, share a good thing. You like the show? Why shouldn't everybody else hear it? We're all together on this, aren't we? Very good. Mike, big day today in the news, of course, and everybody's talking about this San Bernardino thing. So much so, it's just a terrible story, and it's gone viral in so many ways because we have social media and the news spreads faster and very often a lot less accurately than it would otherwise.
That's what I noticed in following it yesterday on the social media. You know, a lot of speculation early on that, you know, turned out to be completely untrue.
Sure, exactly. And folks are still trying to sort it all out. People are still learning how to spell San Bernardino.
Yeah, correct.
Now, what happened early on? People started misspelling it, and then the Twitter spell check engine took over?
Yeah, that's as I understand it, they spelled it wrong in the initial tweets that went out with the hashtags. And so Twitter, you know, they don't know any different. It just picked it up as a trending word. And I went on a few minutes ago, and still got the misspelled San Bernardino on there.
How are they spelling it? San Bernardino? Without an R? The second R?
Without the second R, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that's how we say it.
That is how we say it.
If you're local, San Bernardino.
Well, San Berdu, right?
Yeah, that's right. To be more specific, that's the way you say it. Well, of course, everybody's talking about the mass shooting from so many different angles. 14 people dead, 17 wounded. That's what we know, and some of the wounded were wounded pretty badly. The gunman, a man and a woman, open fire on a holiday gathering of county employees. The shooters, I'm not going to say their names. I don't see the point in glorifying and understanding more about them other than what perhaps their motives were. The man apparently worked with the employees he shot. Perhaps it stemmed from an argument he reportedly had the day before with those fellow employees. Authorities are chasing down any evidence that this may have been some kind of Islamist jihad. The shooters, both dead, had Muslim-sounding names. Don't want to jump to any conclusions, obviously. The conversations that always come up, they're all back. 300-plus mass shootings in the U.S. this year alone. So should there be more control of guns? The guns used in this shooting were purchased legally. Should there be tighter controls on gun sales, on background checks, on waiting periods, on the types of guns sold to the public? How effective would any of that be? And if any of those restrictions were put in place, would gun sales just go underground, as people suggest they would? And how safe would American gun owners feel if their government took all the guns, which is an extreme solution, but always comes up in conversation? Would there be an uprising? Would there be a police state? You see, you can follow many of these paths of logic to the end of the cul-de-sac, and it's hard to see anything good coming out of it. Everything gets politicized, too, as you know, and we get swept up in that, don't we? So you could see why so many people would rally around Donald Trump's implied notion that creating a database of Muslims in the United States and monitoring them would be popular right now. After all, our biggest perceived enemies, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, adhere to an extreme version of Islam, which, by the way, is a religion of peace. But the peaceful Muslims aren't going to go to battle with the Islamic fascists because they're peaceful Muslims. So how do you fight violence with peace? Well, that's somebody else's job. Apparently, it is ours. So what do we take from all of this? There will be more shootings. we can guess there's going to be more shootings. There will be more discussion about guns and psychology. All of this is going to happen for a long, long time. And so what I suggest is we start getting back to some basics that you find in your good book. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Teach respect, respect for life, respect for other people's property. For goodness sake, we live in a time when grown men will kick a guy in the head when he's down. There's no respect for human life. Men and women, for that matter, used to get in fights from time to time, and you would earn respect after the fight was over. You didn't fight to the death. When did that happen? When did that turn? Teenage girls try to kill each other because somebody looked at them funny. And when they demand respect after all of this, it's just sad, isn't it? Because you don't demand respect, you earn it. And if you've got a whole society that doesn't have respect, doesn't give the benefit of the doubt to the other human being, it's a sad situation. We're a good three generations into this loss of respect. So why not start now? Turn the ship around. It might take another three generations, but respect, along with a good dose of personal responsibility. You know, stop blaming everybody else or something else for your actions. I know it's a tall order, but nothing's going to change for the better if some all-encompassing edict comes from the top. It starts with you and your kids and their kids. What do you say? Make a lot of sense? All right, fine. That's it for that on this program, because we usually have a lot of fun here, and there's nothing fun about that story. Uncomfortable for sure, but what do you say we smooth it out a little bit? Mike, you okay with all of that? Disagree with anything?
No, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing definitive in there, but let's move things in the right direction.
It was pretty general and not specific on how to create that atmosphere, but the thoughts were well-placed.
Yeah. All right. Good. Here's something mindless.
That's what I want.
In the early drafts of Star Wars, Yoda had a first name, and it was Minch.
Minch Yoda?
Yeah. Minch Yoda.
Oh, I think they made the right decision there, don't you? Oh, man.
And how about this? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were called the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles when they debuted in England in the 1980s because ninja had violent connotations. Hmm. And the British government there censored the word ninja. How about that? Make any sense? Little internet celebrity news. Kendall Jenner, you know who that is. She had the most liked picture on Instagram this year, and she's not even naked in it.
What?
The photo in question has Kendall lying on her back, fully clothed, with her hair arranged in a ring of hearts around her head. It was posted 6 months ago, and it has 3.2 million likes. And here's the top 10 likes. Celebrity posts. You care about this, don't you? Because you're liking these things, too. I'll go down to number 10. It's Kendall Jenner again. It's another selfie, 2.2 million. No, I'll start at number 2. Tell you what, Taylor Swift with flowers that Kanye West sent her. 2.6 million likes. This is, you know what? This is a...
You know, it's interesting you follow the San Bernardino story with something like this.
This is
a commentary on our society.
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It is truly the end of Western civilization, which the bad guys hope happens in a hurry, by the way. Taylor getting a piggyback ride from boyfriend Calvin Harris, 2.5 million likes. Another Taylor. Taylor's got the next, she's got 2, 3, and 4 spot. Taylor and one of her cats, 2.4 million likes. It has the caption, Meredith is allergic to joy.
Oh, boy.
Can you hang in there with this whole list?
I'm there.
Kylie Jenner with her high school diploma, just to prove it, I guess,
yeah.
2.3 million. Beyonce with Blue Ivy at 11 months, 2.3 million. Blue Ivy, must be her daughter.
Yes.
Okay. Again, Taylor Swift and one of her cats, 2.3 million. Selena Gomez wearing her favorite sweater. 2.3 million. How do we know it's her favorite sweater? Has she replaced it yet? Another picture of Taylor and a cat, 2.2 million. And finally, Kendall Jenner selfie, 2.2 million. So Taylor Swift, 5 out of the top 10 most liked photos of the year. She doesn't have a want for self-esteem, does she?
No, shouldn't.
No.
She shouldn't have a, yeah.
Yeah, of course not. All right, so here's what really matters to you, and coming up next here on the program. Do you have a dog? Have you named it yet? Is the name of your dog on the list of the 2015 most popular dog names? That and a whole lot more coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Under the 12th Amendment, if a presidential candidate and their vice president are from the same state, that state is not allowed to cast electoral votes for both of them. It's left over from when presidents and vice presidents were elected separately, but it could cause an issue today if both people on a ticket were from the same state. I don't recall that happening in recent history. Do you?
No, I don't either.
But how about that? As if anybody would pay attention to the Constitution during an election these days. So if somebody's got momentum, it's going to happen regardless, right? That's how it works. And if you have a dog, your dog's going to get a name. What are the obvious names? Spot? Rover? No, those names haven't been popular for a long time. And here's proof that America's pet obsession just keeps getting stronger. The line between our dogs' names and our kids' names keeps getting blurrier.
Oh, no.
Speaking of Rover, there's a website, rover.com. They just released a report on the most popular dog names for this year. And human names dominated the list. 49% of dogs got a name that's also on the list for the most popular baby names. And that's up from 21% last year. People! Well, how am I going to explain to you? You're all the way down the road on that thing. I cannot bring you back. So I'm not going to bother trying to explain to you why. Okay, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, come on. The top 10 most popular names for male dogs this year are Max, Charlie, Buddy.
That's a good dog name.
I like Buddy. Yeah. Buddy's a good dog name. Come here, Buddy. Cooper, Jack, Rocky. Rocky's a good name
for
a dog.
That's absolutely a great name.
It's not necessarily a good name for a kid.
No, and neither is Buddy.
No, that's a nickname. You wouldn't name your kid. I mean, Buddy Epson, right? Buddy Rich. Was it Epson, like Salts?
I think that's the end of the list there.
Yeah, that's it. My oldest daughter, her nickname is Buddy.
Oh. Okay.
But her name is Alexandra. And you know where Buddy came from?
Where?
Because we used to say the name game. Alexandra, Bodandra, Bonette. Then she became Bodandra. Then eventually Bodandra became Buddy. Mm. And so now we call her Buddy.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's endearing.
And wasn't there, what was that TV show? Family Affair? Family something, not Family Affair. Family?
Got me.
Yeah, Leif Garrett was in it. And,
there
was a character. He was in love with a girl, a teenager. It was an adolescent love, and her name on the show was Buddy.
Mm.
Yeah, I seem to remember that. Anyway, where were we? Rocky, Toby, Duke. Duke's a good name for a dog.
Absolutely.
I like that name. Who's naming their kid Duke? Bear. Now, please, do not name your kid Bear.
No.
And Tucker. Which, if you're old enough to remember, is the name of a car.
Right.
Yeah. And the 10 most popular names for female dogs this year. By the way, those were the male dog names. Female dogs. Bella. My sister-in-law has a dog named Bella. Lucy.
My last dog was Lucy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, see, that's a human name.
Yeah.
Daisy. Molly, Lola. Lola?
L-O-L-A, Lola.
Yeah, whatever Lola wants, huh? That's why Lola's, every dog named Lola is a fat, obese dog. Because you're giving it treats all day, whatever Lola wants. Sadie, Maggie, Sophie, Chloe, and Bailey. And the report also found that 10% of all dogs' names come from pop culture. Names based on the Hunger Games like Katniss were up 19%. What is Katniss anyway? You going to name your kid Katniss?
No.
No. I don't think so. Well, we're not. We're a couple of old, you know, old guys. Parents are in their 20s. New parents. And what do they know? They're not talking to me. Harry Potter names like Luna were up 10%, and Star Wars names like Chewie. All right, I'm naming my kid, my dog Chewie. Not my kid, my dog Chewie. It's a good name. Can you make the Chewbacca noise? They asked me at the hockey game last night because it was Star Wars night at the Ducks game.
I noticed that. How did that go?
It was. It's something they probably will never do again at Honda Center because the Ducks lost.
Oh.
You know, and yeah. They tend to be superstitious about
Absolutely.
Those things. But there were people in full Star Wars regalia.
I saw some pictures of you with Princess Leia, I believe.
Oh, yeah, and R2-D2, and with the Ducks mascot, Wildwing, had a Darth face on, the red with the spikes and all of that.
Nice.
Yeah, they went all out. But they're never doing it again. And a lot of free advertising for Disney, by the way. We were talking a little internet there about the most liked photos on the internet. Now, here are the top Yahoo searches for the year. We're coming down to the year. We're getting all these things, right? Down to the end of the year.
Right.
Yahoo posted their top 10 searches, and the number one overall search this year on Yahoo was Bobby Christina Brown, who fell in a coma back in January and died in July. The rest of the top five were the iPhone, Caitlyn Jenner, Kendall Jenner, and Minecraft.
What?
Minecraft.
I'm missing something.
Why are people searching Minecraft? If they're so they want to find out every little tidbit, every cheat, every story, every backstory about Minecraft if they're into playing that game.
Oh, okay.
Right? See, doesn't that make sense?
It's a game. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of a game it is. I think you you build castles and blow up other people's castles. Mm. And you sit at home and you eat chips and salsa.
Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly. And the most searched male celebrity was Scott Disick. I have no idea who that is.
I don't either.
So the Kardashian clan cleaned up again in this one. Yahoo's top crazes of the year are a little more interesting, though, because they're not all celebrities. Katy Perry's Super Bowl halftime sharks.
Mm.
The Starbucks holiday cup. What was that?
The non-holiday cup.
They didn't have it?
Yeah, that's why people were focusing on it, because it didn't have any of the old snowflakes and bears and things that it used to have.
So they didn't have that.
It just had a red cup.
Here's another one. Man bun.
Huh?
You know, all the hipster boys, they're growing their hair, then they're pulling it up into a bun, at the top back of their head.
Oh, okay.
And please stop. The phrase, what color is this dress? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the whip nay-nay dance, which, by the way, thank you to whoever came up with that song, because you've given awkward white people permission to dance poorly in public.
at wedding receptions, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the top 10 were Jurassic World, Back to the Future, Drake dancing, Cecil the Lion, and the term dad bod. Well, we had that on the show. Here are seven more categories you might care about, by the way. The most popular scripted TV show was The Walking Dead. Game of Thrones was third, and the rest of the top five were soap operas. Those are still on? I wonder if they were.
There's only one or two left.
I wonder if there were telenovas on the list. The most common question people asked on Yahoo was, how do you tie a tie? People are still wearing ties, apparently.
Buy a clip-on. That's the answer.
Yeah. No. I mean, the people who know how to tie a tie.
You don't need to look it up.
They've got gigs already. They've been tying a tie forever. That's how they got the job. They walked in with a tie on, and it was Natalie tied. She's an actress too, isn't she? Natalie
Tye.
Yeah. The top sports-related search was Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. The top gadget people searched for was iPhone 6. Only a small percentage of those people actually bought one. The top dessert recipe, I almost said desert, but there's two S's because it tastes so good you had to have two S's. Is that how that goes? Top dessert recipe people looked for was banana bread. What am I going to do with these rotting bananas? Quick, somebody Yahoo, search banana bread. The top cocktail recipe people searched for was an old-fashioned. And the presidential candidate with the most searches was not Donald Trump. It was Carly Fiorina, followed by Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Ben Carson. Trump was fifth. What do you think?
Well, you know why that is, because you don't have to search for Trump's stories. They're right out there.
Yeah. And when you go to your search engine, he comes up in the little advertisements on the right that happen contextually. Yeah. Hey, not a whole lot of happening as far as new movies this weekend, but there are a bunch of movies you need to see before the year ends, according to Manny the Movie Guy. And he joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. So, Christy McNichol, she played Buddy in the TV show Family.
Ah.
Yeah. And Leif Garrett, how did he say it? Leif Garrett was her love interest. They were like junior high school kids.
Oh, I didn't
realize. And there was a pivotal scene. It was, it was a big deal. It was morality in play on prime time and peer pressure and all of that because, Leif wanted to get it on with Christy. But she was pushing back. And the famous lines from Leif Garrett. Buddy, I have needs. He's like 13.
I always liked Leif Garrett's performance on Celebrity Rehab much better than on that other show.
Yeah. He turned out good, didn't he? Yeah. Hey, it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you. It's your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the Kris Kringle of movies, and he has a bag full of them for you today. KMIR TV movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy. Manny!
That's right. I'm the Kris Kringle of the cinema.
Yeah, the cinema.
Yes.
Do you prefer to call it that versus the movies?
During award season, I love calling it cinema.
Yeah.
I feel very important.
Sounds so haughty.
Very French.
Yes, exactly. I think haughty is a French word. So now there's a word that I'm not sure I even pronounce. There's only one movie that's hitting more than a couple of hundred theaters, and that's a movie called Krampus, and I never even heard of it. Is it a horror movie? What is it?
Well, yeah, this one is a hodgepodge of comedy, fantasy, horror, very much like R.L. Stein's Goosebumps. But whereas R.L. Stein's Goosebumps was shown to critics, this one was not.
Uh-oh.
So that is not a good sign.
You know what Krampus is backwards?
Oh, yeah.
Sup, Mark?
Sup, Mark?
Hey, easy now. You fall over? No, wait a minute. No, you're okay. Good. Now, that's it for the movies. That's all we need to know for this weekend. Now,
yeah, that's a big... Because you know what?
What?
The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 would still dominate. Maybe The Good Dinosaur will come close again. And Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Sylvester Stallone will also be there. So.
Yes. All right. But now, you've put together a list, Manny.
I did.
That are what? Must-sees before the end of the year?
That's right. Well, we all know. Y'all will be watching Star Wars The Force Awakens when it comes out on December 18th. But if you're an Academy Awards fan like me, there are other great movies to see before the end of the year.
Yeah? Like what?
One of them is Carol. I love, love, love Carol. This one has Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara. It's sweet and elegantly told romance between the two women. Winner of the New York Film Critics Circle Award, Carol is guided by the assured hands of director Todd Haynes. I love this film.
Okay, Carol. Got it.
Another movie is called Spotlight. This true life story about the Boston Globe reporters who uncovered child abuse in the Catholic Church has a great ensemble. And speaking of, director Tom McCarthy is going to be honored in my neighborhood at the upcoming Palm Springs International Film Festival, and he's truly, truly deserving.
Hey, you know what? Should we do our show from the Palm Springs International Film Festival?
Why not?
I'm just wondering.
You should. You should bring the whole caravan here.
So there will be people from all over the world, implied by the word international.
That's right.
Yes. All right.
There's going to be a lot of them.
Well, I'll get back to you on that. I'll have my people talk to your people.
Okay.
All right. What else?
Blackberry. The Big Short is also one with a great ensemble. This dramedy about the implosion of the housing bubble is hard-hitting and smart, much like the nail-biting Sicario, which is now still out in theaters. It's headed by Emily Blunt. This drug war thriller is also a must-see. And what's an award season without Meryl Streep?
Yeah, what's an award season without Meryl Streep?
That's right. In Suffragette, Streep and the rest of the cast tackle women's equality in early 20th century Britain. And also delightful, and I love this movie, is called Brooklyn. It stars Saoirse Ronan. You may remember her from Atonement about 5-6 years ago. This time she's all grown up and she carries this Irish immigrant movie from start to finish.
Oh, I love Irish immigrant movies. Aren't they the best? And is it done in that kind of sepia tone to make it look like it's kind of, you know, Depression era Brooklyn?
A little bit, yeah. Sepia tone in the back in Ireland, just because it's sepia and gloomy there.
Yeah, it's always gloomy. You can't do an Irish movie without that tone.
That's
right?
Right.
There's an Irish movie filter they put right on the camera.
Another film, by the way, that benefits from its strong cast is a movie called Room. Oh. Brie Larson and Jacob Tremblay are amazing as mother and son trapped inside a room. And I will not spoil it to you by giving you the details, but it's just an amazing, amazing
film. I'm going to guess that maybe they get out of the room.
We'll find out. Or you can read the book, by the way. It's based on a book.
Okay.
Also giving a wonderful performance is Jennifer Jason Leigh in the upcoming Quentin Tarantino's sure-to-be masterpiece, The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight. Okay.
Yes. Other movies blessed with strong performances are The Martian with Matt Damon. You should see this.
There's one I've heard of.
Right. Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks as an attorney defending the memorable Mark Rylance as a Soviet spy.
Okay.
But Rylance, better watch out. Sylvester Stallone is picking up steam for his performance in the Rocky reboot, Creed.
Okay, so let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 movies.
That's right. And then hold on, but wait, there's more. Also getting awards buzz is Leonardo DiCaprio in the Man vs. Nature film, The Revenant. Will Smith in the football brain injury drama, Concussion. And Eddie Redmayne in the transgender drama. He's an Oscar winner, by the way, from The Theory of Everything. And now he's back in this transgender drama called The Danish Girl.
I saw the promos for that, and is that Eddie Redmayne who plays the Danish girl?
Because
he looks like a girl, but he looks like a boy who looks like a girl.
There you go. Yeah. And, of course, my last one that I want you guys to see before the end of the year, it's another great masterpiece from Charlie Kaufman. It's called Anomalisa, a funny, soul-searching, stop-motion animated flick that is simply magical.
Wow. All right. So I'm going to count again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 movies.
Yes.
And we have 28 days left in the month.
Correct.
That's a movie every other day.
Look, over Thanksgiving holiday, with my mom, I watch movies back to back to back to back.
Yeah. How is mom? Does she have the same movie taste that you do?
You know what? I took her to the premiere of Creed. And for the first time, she always falls asleep in films.
Yeah.
This time, she was up and she even clapped in the end. So don't believe me, believe my mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. When are you going to post a video of you and your mom at MannyTheMovieGuy.com?
I posted a picture of me and my mommy watching. Actually, in my review of Creed, if you go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com, you would see it in there. I put my mommy in there.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Now let's get reaction. Here's mom.
There you go.
All right.
I'm sorry, Manny. I can't talk like that.
Oh, okay.
That's what she's going to tell you.
Yeah? All right. That'd be good enough. I'd pay extra for that. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Visit the website often, and what we'll do is we'll compile this list and post it on our website so people can see it, and they could refer to it and put it all in their queue and watch the entire list before the end of the year.
I can even give you the video that I'm editing right now.
Yes, please. I'll post your video.
Perfect.
On the show fun page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Manny the Movie Guy, enjoy the cinema.
Thank you. And next week we'll talk about In the Heart of the Sea. Of course, that's a Moby Dick inspired.
Oh, it looks frightening to me.
Yeah.
All right, good. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Now, as you load up on new toys and gadgets to put under your tree for the kiddos, you might want to wait and hear what our next guest has to say about the consequences of certain toys on your child's psyche and on your pocketbook well past that initial purchase. This is important stuff. Going to change your thinking a little bit about what you wrap for gifts this holiday season. That's coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. So what are you going to do? Buy a bunch of electronic games and other mindless, expensive toys that will tie up your child's attention for, a couple of days? Then what? It's time to learn how to engage your child's brain in some real playtime. Joining us live is a somewhat regular visitor to the show. It's been a few months. An expert in innovative play and so much more, Paige Olson. Hello, Paige.
Hello.
Nice to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Remind me of the basic position you take on toys and play.
The basic position I take on toys and play, I think there's two really important positions. One is the child needs to lead it, and two is the parent needs to listen to the child, what the child's interested in, and create situations where the child can figure out what they're interested in.
All right. Give me an example of a situation I would create to foster that interest.
Going to the library. I mean, let's just throw it out there, right? Going to the library, but not going to the fiction section, going to the nonfiction section where the child can now look at a bunch of different kinds of books and see what interests them.
Oh.
You know, firefighting, construction working, deep sea diving, animals, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's what I did with my kids, and it's a great thing to do on a rainy day, a hot day, doesn't matter the weather. And the child comes in contact with tons of stuff in that one space.
And trust me, the folks over there who work at the library will be thrilled to see you.
They love kids. They absolutely love kids. Matter of fact, we went so often that they got to know my kids, and so when a new book came in, they'd hold it aside. And they say, hey, this pick came in, we thought you'd be interested. They really like to get to know the kids that come in, too.
Yeah. Now, after talking to you a few times in the past, this is almost a facetious question, but why are old school toys better than the ones that we sell today?
They're more open. I was looking, actually, just before I talked to you at the top toys from Toys R Us, and there's one, and it's a very cute, fuzzy bear, but it has all this computerized stuff in it, and people love it. But what you're doing is first of all, there are boundaries that are established just by the technology of how the child's going to interact with it.
Yeah, this is what the bear does, opposed to the child coming up with what the bear does.
I mean, even the name, one person says, we can't name it anything we want. There is a list of names. But even as much and as wide as the technology is, it's still not as wide as a child's brain is, number one. And number two, if the technology fails, if you're encouraging your child to connect to that toy in an emotional way and it fails, you have created a problem. When you encourage the child to connect to you, the parent, you will always be there, right? You will ebb and flow and grow and change. That connection is different than a connection with an inanimate object. A teddy bear or a dinosaur or whatever that has no technology will never fail.
Yeah.
you can sew it up. You know, you can repair it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And that becomes part of the storyline that a child could imagine on for days.
Can do years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, years.
Absolutely.
Right.
Years.
Remember the surgery?
Yeah. Hey, my daughter has two as a result of surgery, and they are... There's a memory and a story behind it, and whether, I mean, she's 20, she doesn't play with them anymore, but they are a part of her history.
You know, is this, when you help parents understand the importance of play from a different angle, is this what we've been talking about just now, or is there something new you're offering now at page-olson.com?
Well, I think the newest things are really helping parents understand the difference between entertaining and engaging.
Okay, explain.
And I think it's really important when we look back to Mark Twain, okay?
Yeah.
And let's just go back even 100 years. But when those kids were out playing, quote-unquote, they were engaging. They came up with their own stuff. They came up with their own ideas. They interfaced with multi-generations. They had information coming in all the time just by a living. Okay, going down to the docks and talking to the old seamen, watching what was going on in the boats. We can't do any of that anymore. And so what we've come to, back in those days, entertainment was rare and it was treasured. And what we now have gotten to is no longer can a child just wander around the world and take in things and find something that interests them. But we have now gone to we entertain them. So everything is finite. There are boundaries on what they do. The activity is passive. And in it, you lose who you are because somebody else is providing you the boundaries of what can be. When you engage, that's hands-on.
Yeah.
You're creating, you're self-directing, you're participating, and it's emotional.
Mm-hmm. And participating is more than just clicking a heart or a like button on a photo on the internet.
Exactly. I mean, a real quick example, I recently had an 11-year-old boy spend some time at my house while his parents were off doing business. And he spent a few weeks here in total. And he was very much on the computer and stuff like that. And he was building trucks and stuff on the computer. And I finally got him. I said, look, I got a tool shop. I got all this spare wood. I got all this. Come on. And he says, okay, I want to build a car that I can ride in.
Ooh.
Okay, and it's like, ooh, okay, but he had no idea how to draw the plans. So it's like, okay, well, let's Google some soapbox derby stuff. But he didn't think he hadn't, outside the box, how would I even figure this out? And then when we went outside and he's pulling wood, the weight of the wood, the grain of the wood, you know, why do you pre-drill holes, snapping off drill bits because it's not straight.
Yeah.
You know, when you play on the computer, these emotionally connection, tactile things, you never experience the weight of the hammer.
Yeah.
All that.
Oh, that's right. You let kids play with power tools, don't you?
I let kids use power tools, absolutely.
There's a difference, I understand.
You know, under my guidance when my child was 11 or 12, he grew up with tools. He was able to use a chop saw and build things on his own, but he had been guided and taught and stuff like that. This young boy hadn't, but I still, by the end, he was doing his own drilling.
Well, see, that's interesting that what you point out there is that we all have a muscle, a problem-solving muscle in our brain,
right.
And when somebody else is solving the problems for us all the time, that muscle goes limp. It atrophies.
It really does. And what people don't understand is what the computer takes away. That connection, that tactile connection of, oh, I can't just put that on that way. Or the grain now. I mean, his car was unsuccessful as far as ending up with a car.
Yeah.
And he got frustrated, but he then got the privilege of working through frustration, the privilege of persevering, the privilege of having my brother came over, and he's a timber framer, you know, learning from somebody like that, taking the time to say, I care enough about you, let's go figure this out.
Isn't it funny how parents, they work so hard, especially these helicopter parents, they work so hard to not let their child experience failure of any sort. And I bet in this situation, not being able to build that car as he had hoped was a great learning experience because he failed, but he learned why he failed and probably later on got to build build something that worked, didn't he?
Well, I mean, while he was here, no. But when we knew he was going to be going home the next day, and I said, okay, was this activity a failure? And in the beginning, he was like, if I can't get it done, it'll be a failure. And he says, no. He said, I had so much fun. I learned so much. And then he started ticking off some of the things I told you that he learned.
Yeah.
And so the other thing he learned is it's the journey.
Yeah.
It's not. He didn't have to finish it to get something from it and feel good about himself. He smashed his finger and he was proud.
I was going to ask about that. Was there any blood?
No, there was no blood. It's a blood bleed, but nobody got upset with him. It's like he smashed his finger. I saw it. I said, oh, wow, you smashed your finger. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, yeah,
and
right.
He says, yes, it is. It was like, it's this accomplishment.
It's a good thing you live off in the boonies, because if you were in the burbs, they would have called the Child Protective Services against you. To come pick up the kid. Now, let me ask you this. What do you tell your kid if he or she only wants to buy an electronic or computer game or wants you to get it for Christmas?
You know, and that's a real big challenge. You really have to look at what do you want. I mean, are you willing to go down the road you're going down? Or are you willing? You have to make the change for the child that the child can't make, okay? And maybe some parents are going to go, I'm going to go cold turkey. No, we're not going to do that. And other parents, we're going to go, well, let's find an intermediary, maybe an animal that is more interactive but has some technology in it might be a good way of, you know, starting that decompression and getting them somewhere else. But it's also about the parent engaging.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to be there to engage with your child or bring in other teenagers or grandparents to engage with your child, then you're actually causing two problems. Now you're telling your kid, well, you can't be on the computer and you can't play these games and you can't do this and that, and I'm not going to be available. And then the other thing I tell my kids, because they didn't spend much time on the computer, there was absolutely no online gaming allowed, nothing. And I said, look, if you want to go over to your friend's house and that's how you choose to play, I mean, I'm still going to step in and talk to that other parent and decide what I'm okay with and how well are they, you know, looking at that. But that was never a problem because I was there. I provided them other things. I paid attention to what they're interested in. But if you can't, the other thing is tell, you know, you have friends that have those things. Why do you need them too, right?
That's right. Paige Olson. Look for her name on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And I want to come over and play one of these days. Would that be all right?
You're welcome to.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Paige-Olson.com. And that's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including they're growing diamonds, man-made diamonds, they say, are just as good as the ones that take a million years to grow naturally. You're going to hear all about that and how it could save you thousands of dollars on that engagement ring or that gift. Coming up with a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour: why spend 10 grand on a diamond when you can get one just as beautiful, perhaps even bigger, and maybe even better quality for 7 grand. You'll hear more about that this hour. Plus, are you a boomerang gift giver? I have a list of ways to avoid a hangover, and some of the things that turn off women about men could care less about if women were doing it. I'll explain. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Mike Stark, our executive producer, is here in the Peanut Gallery.
A lesser-known friend.
Yeah. But at the top of the Fred chain, I should point out. All right, let's get things rolling here. I've got a couple of deals to tell you about. You know what a boomerang gift giver is?
Somebody that gets a gift and then gives it to somebody else. Is that a boomerang?
Something like that.
I thought that was called re-gifting.
Yeah, well, what's the big Christmas present you're giving your significant other this year? Giant new TV? Dinner at a fancy restaurant, maybe? How about a trip to Hawaii? And if so, congratulations. Apparently, you're part of this year's new trend called boomerang gifts. And you may not even realize that you're doing it. A boomerang gift is when you give someone a present that also benefits you.
Oh.
Taking someone to a couple's spa also benefits you. Getting them a sweet new iPad also benefits you. Five seasons of The Wire also benefits you. A new survey found it's becoming more and more popular to the point where the majority of people are doing it now. The top boomerang gifts are box sets of TV shows, boxes of chocolates, and movies. But really, who buys box sets of TV shows anymore, right? You could just get them on demand. So that's a boomerang gift.
I think most of the gifts that my wife and I give are boomerang gifts because we've been married for so long that, you know, you want to share in whatever the experience is.
Well, of course, you are part of the boomerang generation.
Oh, that's right.
All right, why not? It's in my hand. I'll tell you about it. Robbers wear masks because they don't want anybody to easily identify them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. For this guy, no mask would do the trick. 19-year-old Damon Matthews, he's from Bay City, Michigan. He robbed a 7-Eleven at 3 in the morning on Sunday. This sounds like a police blotter. Just the facts, ma'am. He pulled out a butcher knife and got the clerk to give him $35 and a few packs of smokes. Newports. He wore a mask, but that certainly wasn't enough to hide his identity because he's 7'4". And there aren't a whole bunch of 7'4" guys living in the area. So when cops came to the 7-Eleven, the clerk told the robber he was 7'4". You know, they have that measuring tape on the door as they walk out. And the employees are trained to look when the guy leaves. First of all, he's going to look at you, get a description of him. But when he walks out, you get his approximate height because they have a tape measure taped to the... You go to the 7-Eleven.
Is that why that's there?
That's why that's there.
I often wondered why that was there.
And you know, a typical door is what, 7 feet tall? And so this guy probably had to stoop a little to get out the door. And so 4 inches worth of stoop, 4 or 5 inches, something like that. He's a tall guy. So anyway, they just started asking around the local high school if there were any guys that were 7'4". You know, they went to the basketball courts, went to the pickup games. Hey, well, there's this tall dude around here. You know him? Oh, yeah, sure. It's Damon. He lives down the street. And all his friends inadvertently outed him, and he was captured and facing felony armed robbery charges. Okay? He's going to look down on the judge. Let's see. Hold on a second. I've got this story, but I've got something else I want to tell you. Oh, how much will you spend on Christmas gifts this year? Or just on Christmas, for that matter? The average person will spend $805.65 on the holidays this year. This is according to a survey from the National Retail Federation, and that's up about $3 from last year, and it is officially an all-time high. $805. And 65 cents. But on a city-by-city basis, people will spend very different amounts. WalletHub.com came up with a formula to predict how much the average person will spend on Christmas in the 563 biggest cities in the United States, and the results are based on things like average income, age, debt, and savings. The city where the people spend the most is Palo Alto, California. That's where Stanford and a bunch of high-tech companies are. And the average person there should have a holiday budget of $2,886. That's more than three times the national average.
I need more friends in Palo Alto.
Yeah, that's right. Let's just give them a call and get to know them. The opposite end of the scale, people in Albany, Georgia, are projected to have an average holiday budget of $68. They need more friends in Palo Alto.
Yeah.
The four cities that will spend the average America's budget of $805.65. Alhambra, California. Alhambra is considered one of the big 563 cities.
Beautiful city.
Yeah, beautiful park-like city of Alhambra, California. Citrus Heights, California. Is that in San Diego? Where is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure where that is.
Me neither. Palm Bay, Florida. And Asheville, North Carolina. What if they say Asheville? They might. They might. I'm going to save this. Women are turned off by men who do this, and men could care less. You know why men could care less? Because you take them to bed.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Yeah. And then you make them a sandwich and let them take a nap, and that's all guys really want. I have another another stupid criminal here for you. A guy, let me ask you this. You ever been to someone's date? You ever been someone's date, rather, at a wedding where you didn't know anybody? Let's go to this wedding. It's my friend's 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 friend. I want to go. Okay, fine. It's awful, right? Well, be proud that you handled it more maturely than this guy did. 26-year-old Alex Reese of Manchester, England, got dragged into a wedding. Dragged to it, rather. Not dragged into it. That sounds physical. A couple of months ago by his girlfriend. She was a bridesmaid, but he didn't know anyone at the wedding, so he did the natural thing. He got hammered. Unfortunately, he's not good at handling alcohol, and he wound up going on a rampage. He smashed a bunch of cars in the parking lot, crushed a bunch of lights and plants, then pushed his girlfriend into a bush, and when it was all done, he started smearing poop on the walls. And it's not clear if it was his
or some dog
poop that he found outside or something. Why does that matter? He did a total of $30,000 in damage, or to do the exchange rate, 10,000 pounds, something like that? 12,000.
Wow.
10,000 pounds sterling. He was in court this week facing 5 counts of criminal charges, 1 count of assault. He had a prior assault conviction, so he was just sentenced to 1 year and 4 months in prison.
Well, that was a memorable wedding.
Yeah. So imagine you're the bride and the groom and something crazy
and that
happens.
Oh, man.
Now you have a story to tell. I mean, today you feel devastated. Like, oh, my gosh, that's got some kind of this is a bad omen on our marriage. But 20, 30 years down the road, you start reminiscing about the wedding and you have something to talk about instead of all the things that had typically happened at everybody's wedding. You could tell somebody else's wedding story and it would sound like your wedding story.
Right. They're all the same.
More or less, unless something weird happens, right?
And that's weird, what you're talking about there.
Yes. So count it as a blessing.
That's right.
All right, let's see. Where are we going next? Okay, fine. 6 ways to avoid a hangover and the things that women are turned off by men and why men don't care. If women do the same thing. Those stories and a whole lot more coming up next. And don't forget, this hour, man-made, women probably make them too, but they're made just like they are in nature. Diamonds. They figured out how to make them just the way nature does. And these are not zircs. These are actual diamonds, and they make them in a couple of days. And they're just as good, just as beautiful, but not nearly as expensive. But so why aren't you buying them?
Do you have a piece of this action?
I have none. I'm just fascinated by it, and I don't understand why everybody...
You're really pushing this story.
I don't understand why everybody isn't buying these instead of the other...
No, you're right.
And why a diamond isn't worthless now because you can make them like this. Some kid in high school is going to learn how to just do it in his bedroom and start selling diamonds to all the kids at school.
Well, you've got an expert that'll tell us all about this, right?
I do, yeah. Later this hour.
Nicely
done. About
15
minutes or so. But those other stories coming up next. And you'll have to wait for it because it is next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Can you name the three largest countries in North America? All right, fine. Canada, United States. Name the third one. North America. Three largest countries. Mexico? You'd be wrong if you said Mexico. Give up?
I give up.
Greenland. Greenland is in North America.
That's a trick question,
Phil. It is, yeah. There's the one guy out there, the one geography geek saying, Greenland! Greenland! Say Greenland! All right. During the break, Mike was asking me if I was getting a little cash on the side from these diamond guys. No, I'm not. I'm just curious about it. I thought I'd let you know about it, so we'll talk to them. Coming up in a little bit. All right. I am so not prepared. Oh, I found it. I found it. You want to know what women are turned off by? Believe it or not, women may finally be over bad boys. Meanwhile, men would happily give the business to a woman who's pure evil if she were hot enough. We knew that, right?
Right, of course. That's nothing new.
No, of course not. New study out of Spain shows that men and women pictures of the opposite sex and had them rate how attractive the people were. Then they gave a bio for each of the people and had everyone rate them again. Okay, so you understand what's happening. They're looking at photos of hotties, okay? Men and women looking at men and women. Now they get the bio. When women found out that guys had dealt drugs, cheated people out of money, or cheated on tests, they became totally turned off by them. Not cheated on women, but cheated on tests and cheated people out of money. And no matter how good-looking they were turned off by the guys. Men didn't have that reaction, though. When they found out attractive women lied and cheated, they didn't really care and were still turned on by the women.
That's interesting.
Even when the researchers told them some of the women were members of terrorist groups, it didn't stop the guys from wanting to get it on with them. That, ladies, this is telling, right? This is how men are wired. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Maybe their babies won't be terrorists. Subconsciously, that's what men are saying. The researchers say there's evolutionary biology at play here, as you might imagine. Quote, men are visually focused. Even if a woman is a terrible person, he can still have children with her. See, that's how we're wired. But women have evolved to realize that if they have a partner who is not nasty and is more straightforward, there's a better chance of their offspring surviving.
Wouldn't you know that trend would change years after I stopped dating?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, just think of how this would have opened up your palette of available women. There are good people out there. A three-year-old girl in Tulsa, Oklahoma, named Molly Strait, missed Halloween this year because she was in the hospital for a month with pneumonia. She went in around the middle of October and ended up having multiple surgeries. The good news is she's okay now, but she was pretty upset that she missed trick-or-treating, so she just turned three, and apparently it was her first time, and she missed it. She wanted to go, and she missed it. She wanted, you know, you're 3 years old, and you have to wait a whole year. It seems like a lifetime, right? So after she got home, her mom went on Facebook, naturally, and asked if any of their neighbors would be willing to hand out candy again if they came by, and about 60 of them all said that they were in. 60. I don't think there were 60 houses in the entire city I live in handing out candy this Halloween. So almost a month after Halloween, she got to go door to door in her Rapunzel costume, and her mom says their neighbors went all out for it. Some of them put their Halloween decorations back up, too. Can you believe that? And a few even wore their costumes to answer the door. And since Molly was the only kid asking for candy, she cleaned up, as you could imagine. Yeah, because you can't just go to the store and buy a couple of candies, right? You got to buy a whole bag, the variety pack. Correct? So what are you going to do with a bag of 150 candies? Eat them yourself? Maybe. But you might give Molly like 20. Here you go, Molly. It's a great story. Heartfelt effort put on by the neighborhood. So Molly came home with about 200 pounds of candy. Okay, fine. Now, if you like getting drunk, there's only a surefire way to avoid a hangover, and that's not getting drunk. But you're not going to do that. So here are six other tips that are all backed by science. And you know we are steeped in science on Phil Hewlett and Friends. We don't shoot from the hip here. We shoot straight from the beaker. And when we do get it wrong, we correct it eventually. Here are the ways to avoid getting a hangover. Eat things that are rich in vitamins and antioxidants like fruit, vegetables, and fish, and stay away from anything too fatty. Now, remember, were we talking to Chris Martin about this, and did he say to eat greasy food?
That's what he said.
We're going to see if science backs him up.
Okay.
Because right here already it says don't, stay away from anything too fatty. Drink clear liquid like vodka or gin. Now, you're a gin man, aren't you?
No, I'm not a gin man. I'm a vodka man.
You're a vodka man.
No brown liquor or gin. Gin, I got sick on as a teenager.
Oh.
Once you get sick on anything, you're never going to go
back. What about slow gin?
Slow gin? Never had much experience with slow gin.
Well, okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right, so you're a vodka man.
And no brown liquor. I know you're a brown liquor guy.
Yeah, well, I like gin, but I also like scotch whiskey. So, and vodka, I don't know. I probably do like vodka, but to be honest with you, I haven't had vodka in probably 20 years. So I can't even tell you what it tastes like.
Well, that's kind of a girly drink.
Is it?
I'm a girly guy. No. What can I say?
They put them in martinis. It's
I have them with orange juice.
What?
I can rationalize drinking then.
Is that a screwdriver?
Yeah.
Okay. Some people think it's a myth, this whole discussion here, but a study in 2010 found that dark liquors like whiskey do give you a worse hangover because they have more toxins called congeners inside them. That's nice to know. Here's another way to avoid getting a hangover. Don't drink cheap liquor. Again, it has more toxins, including methanol, which gets metabolized into formaldehyde in your body and makes you feel like crap. So don't drink formaldehyde either. There's a tip for you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Scientists forgot that part. They left out a little nuance. They should add all the nuances. Don't mix alcohol and caffeine because it makes you more dehydrated. Isn't that funny? Because after a few drinks, don't you ask for a cup of coffee?
Absolutely.
And then it dehydrates you. Studies have also found that when caffeine is in your system, it's harder for you to tell how drunk you are, so you drink too much and regret it the next morning. Interesting. Or you drink too much, drink a cup of coffee, and then you get in the car. Now, don't do that. Have somebody else drive for you, please. Don't smoke. A study in 2013 found that college students who smoked cigarettes while they were out drinking ended up with worse hangovers. And here's something. You know, if you throw a party, you should have a nice big ice-cold pitcher of water out there and let people drink water. It's the most obvious one, but people still forget to do it. You should drink water when you're out. Half the reason you feel bad the next morning is because you are dehydrated. See? You learn things listening to this program. Or did you know all of that already? Did you notice there was nothing in there about greasy food?
Not a word.
And Chris isn't here to ridicule about it. Or what word would he use?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one. He'd make up.
He'd say, Phil, that was ridiculant.
Yeah, that's what he'd say.
Yes. All right, fine. I keep going. I'm gonna run out of stories. So let me just tell you that Billy Joel's song, Allentown, you a big Billy Joel fan?
I'm not a big Billy Joel fan. I like some of his stuff.
He's one of the biggest artists of all time, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
The song Allentown was originally called Levitt Town, after a town on Long Island, New York, next to where he grew up. He changed it to Allentown when he decided to focus it on the fading steel industry in Pennsylvania, rather than what was happening or fading otherwise in Allentown, Long Island. Is that how they say it there? I think they do. They live in Long Island. All right. Check that one off. See if we can make it through. Oh, by the way, if you're in the market for an engagement ring, and this is not a commercial, I promise. I don't have two bits invested in this. If you're in the market for an engagement ring or a diamond as a gift, our next guest is going to save you thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. Now, what would you do with that money? Buy candy? Buy greasy foods? Or you'd go out drinking? It's amazing, fascinating stuff. It's so fascinated with it. I want to learn more about it, and you will too, as I do, when our next guest joins us here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, if you haven't been to the website lately, you should go there, philhewlettandfriends.com, subscribe to the show, and please tell all your friends to subscribe to the show. Thank you very much. This is fascinating stuff here. Ladies, you know you love diamonds, and you're going to love me, because after hearing our next guest, you're going to get a bigger diamond. And guys, you're going to love me too, because I'm going to save you a bunch of cash. Well, our next guest is, as a matter of fact, and his name is T.J. Walker. He's with a company called Pure Grown Diamonds. Do I have that right, T.J.?
Pure Grown Diamonds, yes. Good to be with you.
Yeah, great that you're here. What do you guys do over there at Pure Grown Diamonds?
Well, we create lab-grown diamonds. They are real diamonds. They are exactly the same as any other diamond. It's anatomically... The atom structure is exactly the same. It's carbon. It's beautiful. It is indistinguishable from any mined diamond, except for the fact that it's about 30% less expensive, and it's eco-grown. So it is much, much friendlier to the environment, and that's why people are attracted to it.
Well, you know, make the comparison, because people don't realize when they're sitting down at the shopping mall in the jewelry store looking at the diamonds where they don't have a clue. Nobody tells them unless they ask, and maybe the person behind the counter doesn't even know, and they make up a story where the diamonds came from and how they were mined and the people who work in the mines and how they're treated and all that sort of thing. So just kind of make the comparison to drive this home, what you're talking about.
Well, in a mined diamond, you've got a lot of, this is not according to me, but the well-known international consulting firm Frost & Sullivan. A mined diamond, you've got thousands of acres of soil moved for, you know, every handful of carats. You've got thousands of ounces of air pollution, more than 100 gallons of water per carat. There's a lot going on with the environment for the mined diamonds. You don't have those problems with lab-grown diamonds. It is 1/7 of the overall environmental impact with a lab-grown diamond. So it's much, much friendlier to the environment.
Now, you know what the ladies are going to say? That's not a real diamond. That's a cubic zirconium. Now, do you have to fight that PR battle every day?
All they have to do is look at it. All we have to do is say, look at a mined diamond and put a lab-grown diamond next to it, you cannot tell. And then the next step, take it to your favorite jeweler. Take it to a gemologist. Give them one of those microscope loops. Ask them to tell the difference. They can't. It's like if you took a beautiful lily to your favorite florist and said, can you tell me, was this grown outside or was this grown in a greenhouse? Because you mentioned some of those other things people talk about when they're trying to save money with diamonds. That's not what a lab-grown diamond is. A lab-grown diamond is an actual diamond.
Just like what happens in the ground, it just doesn't take a million years to happen.
It takes about 10 to 12 weeks. You start off with a diamond seed. It's made of carbon. You put it in a greenhouse. It crystallizes, and it turns into a diamond. Each one is different. Each one has its own particular characteristics. You still polish it, cut it the same way you would a mined diamond. They are beautiful. These are type 2A diamonds, the rarest of all diamonds. Only 2% of mine diamonds are type 2A diamonds. When you think of the big Elizabeth Taylor diamonds that people go gaga over,
yeah,
that's what the lab-grown diamonds are. And they come in fancy pink, bright yellow, colorless. They can be cut in the shapes and, you know, all the cuts that women want.
Are they the whole GIA certification and all that sort of thing? Are they treated on a par with the mined diamonds?
Yes, they are. But some, as you can imagine, in the industry, nobody really likes competition.
Yeah.
And this is competition. But again, you should look at, have a jeweler, have anyone else look at it. They can't tell because it is, in fact, a real diamond.
So you say in every way, since they're growing naturally, just in an accelerated way, there are impurities and cracks and all the different things that you would get. So that, you know, if you come in, you don't have a lot of cash, you can get something with a little yellow streak and a crack in it and say, okay, honey, here's your diamond. Great, that's all we can afford now. I'll ask for an upgrade in a couple of years. It's the same kind of thing, right?
The beauty of this is you can get beautiful, beautiful, high-quality diamonds for 30% less. So let's say you are like a lot of people and you want a one-carat diamond. You would spend $5,000 with a mine diamond. A lab-grown diamond that has the same quality, same size, would be more like $3,000. That means you've got the very same quality diamond or better, but you save $2,000, and
yeah,
that's $2,000 you can spend on a honeymoon, a wedding, a down payment on a house.
Sure.
I mean, when you think about when someone's buying a diamond engagement rings, it's typically a time when they have a lot of other expenses going on in their life.
Yeah.
So having something that is as beautiful, if not more beautiful, the same quality, but saving thousands of dollars is really, really helpful right about now.
Yeah, I can see where pricing was a big discussion there over at your company, and no doubt you don't want it to be such a discount to where it looks like, okay, fine, it doesn't have the kind of value that we're looking at. But it always seems like supply and demand is at the biggest part of the play, but there's a huge cost in mining diamonds, and I suspect the cost isn't anywhere near that to grow it in a greenhouse, as you say.
That's absolutely right. And unfortunately for the mine diamond folks, it's only getting more expensive. They're having to dig deeper and deeper. That does cause more destruction to the environment. It also adds expense to mine diamonds, and that is not an expense in terms of dollars or environmental problems that lab-grown diamonds have.
So everybody's buying these then, right? I mean, why shouldn't they?
Well, it is growing. Every single day, there are more and more requests for lab-grown diamonds. More people are going to the puregrowndiamonds.com website.
Mm-hmm.
Because either the cost or the concern for the environment, because these are eco-grown, or both. The other thing is, quite often, if you're starting a new marriage, for example, you want new things. You might want a new car, a new house. This
yeah.
is a new diamond. You don't have to wonder about how many, you know, blood
yeah.
diamond situations it went through or
sure.
conflicts it went
all right.
through.
I get all of that. I think I'm trying to help you here with the PR a bit, because I wonder if maybe that's all it is that people have to come to the conclusion that, yes, it's exactly the same thing, just without all of the baggage that the natural diamonds have versus these. And so the question is, all right, there's puregrowndiamonds.com. No doubt you can order them there. But are you distributing your diamonds to the jewelry stores and the shopping malls?
Yes. Fine jewelry stores all over the country are now selling these. And certainly if you go to a jewelry you respect and ask for it, they can get it, because keep in mind, these jewelry stores are they're not making diamonds themselves. They are there to serve the customers, and if you ask for it, they can get it for you.
Yeah. Now, we talked about how it's getting more expensive to mine natural diamonds, and thus probably driving the cost up. But I also wonder, as your diamonds, the pure-grown diamonds, the ones grown in 10 weeks and are just like, as you say, the ones that take a million years to grow— are your diamonds pulling the carpet out from under the natural diamond market and depressing prices at all, or do you suspect that they will at some point?
Worldwide, we're seeing more demand for diamonds than supply. Part of it is places like China. More and more people are entering the middle class, and they like things like diamond rings. So it's a pretty good time for people in the diamond business because there is more demand.
Mm-hmm.
But there is very much a concern about the supply from the mine sources. And it's not just that mines are sort of becoming, you know, used up. It's that it costs more with the environmental issues of digging deeper. That's why people are looking for eco-friendly or eco-grown alternatives. And that's part of the huge, huge attraction to lab-grown diamonds.
Is there a marker on...
By the way, you don't have to worry about these issues.
Is there a marker, a stamp or something on the lab-grown diamonds? Because I just think there might be a couple of unscrupulous diamond sellers out there that who would say, you know, they'd sell yours without the 30% discount.
You know, think of it this way. You want a Ferrari, you want that Ferrari logo on your car. At Pure Grown Diamonds, we're proud of what we do. So we actually inscribe with a laser LG for lab grown and the unique number for your diamond under the girdle. Now, this is extraordinarily small, but it is a marker. You can't see it with the naked eye. I've held one in my own hands with a loop, and I could not see that. But a gemologist could, in fact, see that. So there's never any confusion over the fact of whether it's a lab-grown diamond or a mine diamond.
Yeah.
So we are completely transparent. We want everyone in the industry to be completely transparent.
Yeah.
But again, you could never see that unless you were really trained in the right way and had the right tools. But even with the tools, a gemologist could not tell the difference between a lab-grown diamond and a mine diamond other than the laser inscription.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is certainly interesting, and thank you for bringing it to our attention. I think my daughter has been listening carefully. She's been shopping with her boyfriend, who has yet to come to me and say anything about nuptials, but just the same, she's been shopping for rings forever and is interested in saving a few bucks. Just before I let you go.
Pass that on to them, because it's young people especially care about how these big decisions affect not just themselves, but the rest of the world. So if you can save water, save soil, save air pollution, and not worry about child labor and these other issues, something that's eco-friendly, all the better, plus saving money.
Before I let you go, just to give us a basic idea, 1 carat, top-of-the-line quality from your stock there, what price range are we looking at, whatever the top color is?
This would be in the $3,000 range compared to a $5,000 mine diamond.
So for 1 carat, top
really
quality.
You really can save a substantial amount.
Now we're talking. See, that is a big, substantial savings. Great. Nice to talk with you. We'll link you on our links page, but it's puregrowndiamonds, with an S at the end, .com. TJ Walker, thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. You too. How about that, huh? See? And again, I promise I don't have a penny invested in that. I just find it fascinating. And then why isn't everybody buying those? Is it because of, like what I said, the lady's going to say, "It's not real. Aren't I worth it? Shouldn't there be child labor?" No. Of course not. All right, let's see. Coming up in our last segment, hey, Nick Cannon has a new job. You won't believe where. We have the ratings on Thanksgiving. What do you think got the highest TV ratings? And Rolling Stone has another list that's absolutely ridiculous. And this time, it's the 25 best TV shows of the year. And I think you'll disagree with every single one of their choices. And those stories are coming up in the final segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief.
headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, I tell you all the time to go to the website and leave a message for us. And so on the last program, we were talking about the there was a ghost town for sale in South Dakota, I believe it was. The town was called Sweat. And we got this comment from one of our esteemed listeners.
I wanted to go ahead and comment on the ghost town. I'm with you on this one. I don't believe the town should be called Sweat Town. I immediately, when you mentioned that, I actually thought about two things. One, sweatpants, and second, respiration. And that's disgusting. So I would definitely go ahead and switch the name out for something else if I were to spend money on that retail location.
Yeah, there you go. See, I disagreed. Everybody thought that it should stay Sweat. I said, no, let's change the name. Call it something else. We tried to tell Gonzo Greg to buy it and call it Gonzo.
Yeah, South Dakota. What did it cost? $250,000, I think, was the
something
note.
Like that, yeah. Or two or three or four, one of those. $400,000, I don't know. It was like 9 acres, and it had a saloon.
I saw some pictures after we talked about it on the internet. It's not exactly inviting.
No?
No.
So you'd need some yeah, maybe some gardening, some foliage.
It's what they'd call a fixer-upper.
All right. Maybe you can negotiate. Radio Shack has hired Nick Cannon to be their new chief creative officer. According to their press release, he'll play an active role in the development of Radio Shack exclusive products, as well as helping to further transform the retailer into the must-visit electronics destination.
Now, wait a minute. I thought Radio Shack shut down.
Me too. But, you know, as long as you still need, one battery or you need a plug to plug into some other plug, or what else do they sell there?
Yeah, basically it's batteries and plugs.
Does it still take an hour to check out there, even though you're the only person in line?
And do you have to give your address anymore?
I don't.
Remember,
yeah.
You used to have to give your address?
Right. And I wanted to say, why? I just live down the street. Come over and say hi. I'll make you some dinner. Thanksgiving Day football was the most watched show of the week, with nearly 28 million people tuning in to watch the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers 17-13, and to witness Brett Favre's jersey being retired during halftime. Did you watch?
I think, yeah, well, had it on in the background.
Yeah. Number two show was Sunday Night Football, then NCIS on CBS, 60 Minutes on CBS. So NBC, NBC, CBS, CBS, Monday Night Football on ESPN, that's ABC, Walking Dead, AMC, then the 21st season finale of Dancing with the Stars. Who won that? Do we know?
You're asking me? No.
Yeah, I have no clue. I haven't watched Dancing with the Stars in seasons. We'll find out. Let's see. The first final performance night of Dancing with the Stars was number 8. Football Night in America on NBC was number 9. And The Big Bang Theory on CBS was number 10. There's your top-rated shows for the week. How about that? Now, Rolling Stone very often puts out lists, and I think they do this just to tweak us. Don't you think?
No doubt about it.
Yeah. A lot of people say that TV has become the peak form of entertainment, including the original stuff on Netflix and Hulu. Rolling Stone is high on it, and they've just put out their list of the 25 best shows for the year. And I guess I'll start at 25 and work my way up and tell you how many of these I've seen. So far, I'm just glancing at it. I don't think I've seen many, if any. 25 is Narcos. That's on Netflix.
That's a good one.
Is it? Okay.
That's a good one.
You're going to have to help me with this. Kay and Peele on Comedy Central.
Know nothing about that.
Halt and Catch Fire on AMC.
Huh?
Rick and Morty on Adult Swim. Bloodline, Netflix. Game of Thrones is number 20 on HBO. Now, people who watch Game of Thrones would say, what? Number 20?
Yeah, that's what they'd say.
Louie on FX. Okay, I've seen one episode of Louie.
I hear that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's interesting. It's funny. Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp. That's on Netflix. It sounds kinky. The Leftovers on HBO. Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix. Silicon Valley on HBO. Hannibal on NBC. Orange is the New Black is number 13 on Netflix.
That's a good one.
You're the Worst on FX, number 12. BoJack Horseman is on Netflix. That's a cartoon, is it not?
Haven't a clue.
I think it is. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Now I've seen that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
He's funny. Better Call Saul is on AMC. That's number 9. Veep is on HBO. That's number 8. And she won all the awards, Veep did, right?
Yeah, I've watched that a couple times. It's all right, you know.
Fargo, Empire, Difficult People, The Americans. Now the top 3, Broad City, number 2, Mad Men, and number 1 on USA Network, Mr. Robot.
Where's Walking Dead?
Not on the list.
Where's our favorite, Phil? Survivor.
Not on the list.
How dare they?
What's the matter with these Rolling Stones people? They're like I said, they're trying to tweak us.
And they're successful.
All right, fine. I think that's all I've got for today. Pretty sure. Yeah, that's it. I just double check. Just double check. That's all I've got. No, wait, there's one more. Police caught a flasher by luring him with a hand-drawn turkey. That's all I've got. That's the last story. All right. So if you've got a comment, go to the website, philhewlettandfriends.com, and click on contact. There's a form there. We're also on Twitter at FAF Show, PHAF Show. On Facebook as well, Phil Hewlett and Friends. Like us, love us, do all those things. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, for contributing so much to today's program.
My pleasure.
To our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who... No, he's not here. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Mike and for all of the friends, and I promise we'll have more in the studio next time, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you. Next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Mom.